Hello, I'm Heather Barnes, food and product photographer and storyteller behind the lens. Our Austin-based team is all about visual solutions. For your brand, it's essential for your product to be memorable and have stickiness. Our clients like Ghirardelli, Tiff's Treats, and Nautamu choose our photography to develop positive associations with their brand. They call our work inspiring because it moves consumers into a relationship with their company. And we can do the same for you. Learn more today at heatherbarnes.com. Focused on you, your story, and your success with memorable photography garnished with love.
And welcome back to Success Made to Last, Author's Corner. I'm Rick Tokini. This show is presented by Edward Jones Financial Advisors, as well as Game Day Media. And we thank both of those sponsors for their long-standing support of this network. Our special author guest today is Mark Scott. He is from downtown Cincinnati today, and in various work iterations, he has, in no particular order, served in the U.S. Navy. Thank you for your service. He's done lots of other things, too, including delivered boat propellers to boat shops, had kung fu fighting class, been in banking, education. And his book is called Drunk Log. Welcome to our show, Mark.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Okay, fill in the blanks for us. Tell us a little bit more about your backstory leading up to the writing of this book.
Well, I'd written a few books prior to Drunk Log, and in this case, I got the idea from a friend as we were hiking Pikes Peak. She's an astrophysicist, and during the part where I was, you know, bugging her about all my Star Trek questions, you know, do phasers really work? Can you time travel? She talked about how she went out drinking one night and kept a record of how she felt with every drink, you know, like a scientist would. And I said, what'd you call it? And she said, I called it the drunk log. And I said, hey, can I have that idea? So she sold it to me for free. I sort of ran with it from there. I brought the idea back here, talked to a writer friend, and he loved it, but, you know, said, oh, you're going to need more structure than that. Why is this guy writing the log? And so I developed the story from there.
Oh, very good. And you are a native of Ohio, right?
I am. Yeah, I was born in the middle of the state, moved to Michigan as a boy, moved back to Ohio as a older boy.
Very good. How did your time in the Navy influence your storytelling ability?
I thought it improved it. The great thing about, especially the first 4 years, I spent 6 years in the service. I was on a ship for 4 years and I had access to a typewriter and a quiet room. So that was where I really started trying to write books, especially underway when things were quiet.
Mm-hmm. In growing up and even into adulthood, who do you hold out as some of your favorite mentors that helped shape you as a storyteller?
Do I have to know them or can I just name authors?
You know, they can be either. Because we really believe that you don't have to personally talk to, you know, great writers of the past to not have them as personal mentors.
Yeah, I did some pretty heavy reading as a youngster and then in the Navy. But my favorite author is Kurt Vonnegut. He writes smoothly. His stories are funny and they move along. Earlier in my life, I was reading stuff, you know, when I was 13, 14, reading 1984, Brave New World, all the 50s dystopian stuff. And then graduated into Steppenwolf, Magister Ludi, some other, you know, Crime and Punishment when I was in the Navy, was reading the Russians and Germans at that point. So, but I always came back to Vonnegut and Hemingway. Hemingway, for the same reason, is efficiency of speech and the way he told a story.
You got it. I like that. Thank you for sharing that. So Drunk Log is a darkly humorous, but it's also a deeply introspective exploration into one man's attempt to find peace in the face of unrelenting pain. And we rarely have authors on that have captured and or mastered the art of dark humor. How did you approach writing this book that is, it truly is darkly humorous?
Well, thank you. The subject matter itself is depressing. But I guess my worldview is that, you know, any situation, you can find humor in almost any situation or something lighthearted. And, you know, going back to the Navy, there was always the sense of humor in the military tends to be fatalistic. Mm-hmm. So even in your darkest moments, there's somebody cracking a joke about, you know, well, we're probably not going to make it out of this one, you know? And I think that appealed to me and spoke to me, and I wrote that way ever since. And in this case, you have a guy who's, you know, on a pretty dark mission, but interesting things happen to him along the way and funny things happen to him along the way. And even he recognizes that to a degree.
He does indeed. Is within your lifetime, have you known a lot of people that have had this weight of being oppressively guilty?
I've known enough. Yes. And known a couple people who have not survived it.
Mm. Yeah, that's so sad. And you know, the art of a podcast when you're talking with authors is don't give away everything in a book so people will go out and buy it. So I'm having to kind of skim around some of the key parts of the book because I want people to make sure and go out and purchase it. Maybe we should tell them enough to make us dangerous. How about that?
Well, you're doing a great job skirting around it. Here's the summary. You know, it's about a guy who's responsible for the death of his 7-year-old nephew. And he decides a year after that he can't take the guilt of it anymore and decides to kill himself. And his journey that night from beginning to end. The story lasts about 8 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I think is what makes it a fast page-turning book. And it's a fast clip, let's just say that. And there's, I think, the art of and the craft that you have of helping us see ourselves, little snippets in the protagonist, is magical. I wonder why you named the guy Jack Current.
I think it was almost an accident. You know, somebody pointed out that his counterpart is named Aria, mm-hmm. which of course is a lovely musical composition. So I'm not sure those were consciously on purpose. It could have been subconscious.
You bet.
Lots going on up there that I'm unaware of.
That's right. That's right. We're talking with author Mark Scott, and we're discussing his book, Drunk Log. We're going to cut to a commercial. Hey, Mark, tell our listeners where they can purchase your book and even get in contact with you.
The book can be had at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Google Play. And if you would like to reach out and contact me, you can go to my website, www.markescottauthor.com. And there is a contact page where you can email me.
Very good. Very good. We appreciate that. And we will be right back with our author, Mark Scott, following this message for Edward Jones Financial Advisors.
I am so glad that we met Serban Marasini of Edward Jones Financial Advisors. Serban has been there for all of our life moments, always centered on us and where we want to go. He was instrumental in helping us live around the world, building our media company, and nurturing us as a true partner for the next stage of our lives. You know, there are 19,000 financial advisors serving over 7 million clients. But Serban treats us like we are the only one, and the one that really matters. If you want to contact Serban, call him today at 303-494-2310. Again, the number is 303-494-2310. You know that life is for the living. Why not partner for all of it with Edward Jones?
And we are back with Mark Scott. His book is a compelling story of one man's last hurrah. It's called Drunk Log. And this back half, Mark, we always spend time providing some mentoring tips to our young authors. And let's start with this one. When you were building out your story, at what point did you land on the title?
That was what my my friend called her notebook. I learned later that's actually a reference, an Alcoholics Anonymous reference when they're telling stories, that they, it's sort of a log of their behavior. Mm-hmm. Which I was unaware of at the time. But yeah, I was handed that name by another person. I just kept it.
Very good. I was always interested in reading books growing up about how does an author begin a book with the right words and how do they end? And, you know, everybody can't start with The Tale of Two Cities, you know, and always be Charles Dickens. I'm going to just look at my book that you graciously sent us, and Troy, this is how it begins. Troy was sitting on his favorite uncle's lap, holding the steering wheel, pretending to drive like any seven-year-old loves to do when the truck hits. Powerful beginning. And the last words in Mark's book is, "Take my hand." So tell us the significance of those last three words.
Okay, so the book becomes a love story in essence between Jack and Arya. Mm-hmm. She is anxious to save him, so to speak, or to help him and wants him to survive. So in the end, when she, things happen very quickly between the two of them, and they haven't spoken really since the beginning of the book. Most of the book, they're just tripping into one another, so to speak. And in the end, Take My Hand is, I wanted it to sound, you know, I'm here to help you. I want to help you through this. And I, you know, you think of the God handing knowledge, the Sistine Chapel, God handing knowledge down to man, you know, and the hand extended.
Right.
That's probably, you know, I'm not a painter and I'm not Michelangelo, but I'd like to think that it's a powerful moment where he's finally going to accept help, the help that he's being offered.
There you go. Powerful words. Powerful last three words. I loved it. All right. Here's a couple of questions that we often get from our listening audience to ask authors. And our people would like to know what's your morning routine look like while you're writing a book, and what's the best part from your perspective?
My morning routine is autopilot. So, that way, if I do the same thing every day, I get up, I do X, I brush my teeth, I do the next thing. It allows my brain to, either write the book or work out what I'm going to do during the day. Mm-hmm. The morning is really routine, because that way, you know, what's left of my brain power is allowed to work on on more important things than, you know, how many strokes I'm going to take with my toothbrush. So
I like that. Your daily weather forecast. Before your brain dissipates, this is what you want to do. Okay, in the midst of COVID-19, many of us learned how to create better balance at home as we were working there and living there. Do you have any tips for our listening audience to the young authors about balancing work and home life?
Yes, absolutely. Do not forget that you are living with other people.
Good one.
I would say it's, as an author, it's easy to disappear, and you want to disappear because you're escaping into the world you're creating. Even if your characters have reached a point where they're running the show themselves, which happens to me, don't forget the people around you. They miss you, and you got to schedule around them as well.
Very good. All right. So, where did you get your sense of humor from?
In my family, it was a survival technique. So my siblings all have great senses of humor as well. And I think there was four of us, and we, throughout our lives, we riffed on each other. And even now, when I'm with my brothers or my sister, it's tough to keep up for the people around us as the jokes fly.
Oh, good.
Not trying to brag, but we're a pretty funny family.
That's what it's all about. And I think it comes out in your book. Obviously, you can be dark and humorous at the same time, as you have proven. Side story. I worked for Procter & Gamble in Cincinnati. And throughout my crazy career, I actually interviewed to run a division of Hillerich and Bradsby. And here the notebook, the drunk log, falls into the river, and it's found by the Louisville Slugger Bat Company. And I've got that underlined in the book, and I went, I got to talk to Mark about that. So is there any significance in the fact that it happened to drop on the shores of the Hillerich and Bradsby Company that makes Louisville Slugger bats?
I just like seeing the bat, you know. Yeah, it's you understand the geography here better than most, and the next real, other than Evansville, the next major city is Louisville. So I just love the thought of having that thing float down the river as trash until, you know, some high school student picks it up and sticks it in a trash bag, and he's standing in front of the bat by little slugger offices there downtown Louisville. And in case your listeners don't know, they can go inside the bat.
It's a secret. It's not a secret any longer. All right, just a couple of final questions for our special guest, Mark Scott. You write so well about water that water almost becomes the character in a book, in this book.
Thank you.
What was the secret to how you describe water and its piercing effect on you?
I think that goes back to my time in the Navy. The first time I ever saw the ocean was up close and personal was when I was 10. And just fell in love with it. And in the Navy, I loved being on the ship. I loved sailing. I was racing small boats my last couple of years in the Navy. And there's just something so vast and perfect about it. You know, we're all just really nothing compared to the vastness of the ocean. And here in Cincinnati, it's a river town, and you know, I live 1 mile from the river, and when I run with my dog down there, and we run along the river. It's just always part of everyone's lives, some degree more than others, you know.
Yeah,
but yeah,
it shows. It shows your water is a significant part of your life, and it's a centerpiece of this, and it's even caught up in the title of your book. So I just think that I applaud you for how you brought it forward and highlighted it. That was one of the most enjoyable parts of the book from my perspective.
Thank you.
All right, last question for you.
Yes, sir.
We study success versus significance, and I would love for you to opine on what does success mean to you at your age and stage, and what does significance mean?
Well, I wish you had sent that question ahead. At my stage in life, with writing, success would be that I continue to write books, and that somebody, and that I sell enough books that somebody wants to keep publishing them.
Mm-hmm.
Significance. I said this to my significant other not long ago. I said, my goal is to write something seminal.
Hmm.
Something, you know, that, you know, 50 years from now, somebody will go, you know, hey, remember that book by Mark Scott? You know, he's long dead, but, you know, that was a good one. Like quoting For Whom the Bell Tolls, or, right, you know, Slaughterhouse-Five, or, you know, Crime and Punishment. These are books that have survived the test of time. I would love to, that to me, that would be significant, a significant achievement.
Mm. Well, here's to your definition. I think that those are both achievable, and I like the fact that you have a sense of perspective, long-range perspective, especially about significance. So I appreciate that. Hey, Mark, give out your information one more time. Where can people buy the book and or get in touch with you?
Again, yes, the book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Google Play, as well as, and I forgot to mention this before, my publisher, Speaking Volumes, that can be purchased through them. And if you'd like to contact me, I am available through my website, which is www.markescottauthor.com. And you can email me through there, and I'll happily respond.
Very good. Hey, Mark, it was a joy to have you on. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to join us. And congratulations on this book. And keep up the great work. I know you'll have another book up your sleeve. And you're welcome back here anytime so we can review it and enjoy it and dissect it together. Thanks again.
Thank you again for having me, Rick. Great time.
You bet. That was author Mark Scott. Hey, go out and buy his book, Drunk Log. You're going to see some of your relatives in this book, I bet. Thanks for joining us on Author's Corner. As we always say, may you continue to move from success to significance. Have a good week.
Hi, everybody. This is John Largent, founder and CEO of Game Day Media. Our award-winning audio production team has worked with both Amazon and New York Times best-selling authors, CEOs, thought leaders, leaders in education, healthcare, world-class athletes, A-list entertainers, and we'd like to work with you, too. Located near the world-famous Riverwalk in downtown San Antonio, Texas, our attention to details and a white-glove approach to our recording process will make your audiobook experience truly memorable. To learn more, go to gamedaymedia.us. That's gamedaymedia.us. You bring your book and your voice, and we'll do the rest. That's gamedaymedia.us.